Let us turn again to the passage of God's word that we read together in the Gospel according to John chapter 1. Let us consider now verse 46. John chapter 1, verse 46. And Nathanael said unto him, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip saith unto him, "Come and see." And Nathanael said unto him, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip saith unto him, "Come and see." Jesus has been gathering disciples. He drew Andrew to himself, and Andrew spoke to Simon Peter, telling him that he had found the Messiah, in other words, the Christ, or if we put it in English, if we give the meaning in English, the Anointed One, who is promised to the people of God under the Old Testament, and he had now come. He had now come into the world, the Son of God, who became man. And the next day, when Jesus was to go to Galilee, he found Philip and called him to follow him, to follow Christ. Philip was from Bethsaida on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. It was where Andrew and Peter belonged. But Philip found another disciple and brought him to Christ. He spoke of Jesus as Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus from Nazareth. He was the son of Joseph. And Nathanael and asked the question, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Clearly, he didn't expect that that would be the case. But Philip has a very appropriate answer for him. "Come and see. Come and find out for yourself." And that's how it should be with us as we hear about salvation, as we hear about religion, about true religion, and we hear that there are good things in religion, that is true Christianity, the Christianity that is to be drawn as a system of belief, in, for one thing, to be drawn from the Bible. And if we ask this question in any way about these things, can there be any good thing? Is there a good thing to be found in Christianity? Is there a good thing to be found in the Bible? Is what we find in the Bible a good thing? Well, the answer is come and see. Come and experience it for yourself. Do not take it at second hand, but come. Examine what it says. Examine what you see about those who profess to be Christians. And there may be inconsistency in that, of course. But basically, if we can examine the Bible and look at the lives, however remotely perhaps, if we can examine the lives of those who are consistent with the Bible and the teachings of the Bible and the commandments of the Bible, if we look at them and see how they live and see that there is some degree of consistency, then we should draw our conclusions. Yes, this is something that I should take. This is something that I should follow. come and see. That's the answer that Philip gave, and it was a good answer. It was a suitable answer. And so, if we, perhaps we could say, hovering on the outskirts of Christianity, we might be saying, is this for me? Should I follow the Bible? Should I follow the religion that is based on the Bible? Well, come and see. Come and experience it for yourself. That's the sort of answer that we should be giving. Come. Do not stay away. Do not hide away from the truth. But come. Come and experience it for yourself. Come and look more closely. Do not stay at a distance. But come. Now, in trying to look further at this verse here, we have first of all a question, and then in the second place we have the answer. We'll look first at the question. Yes, we would seek God's help in doing so. Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? And we are to examine that in the kind of way that I've been outlining. Can then any good thing come out of Nazareth? Is it possible that this person who Nathaniel was being introduced to, is it possible that being from Nazareth, he could be someone you would want to be associated with? It doesn't say much. The question that Nathaniel asks, it doesn't say much for Nazareth. But, you see, here is one who belonged to Nazareth. Not altogether. He wasn't born there. But he was one who was supremely good. And he wasn't to be rejected. We're to examine everything. And in particular, we are to examine the religion that we follow. There's people who reject religion and they feel that they can do without God. They're secular. They follow secularism. They follow secular ideas. That will do them fine. That gives them sufficient satisfaction. But have they examined it? Have they put against it the Bible and the religion that flows from the Bible and the one who is revealed in the Bible, Jesus of Nazareth, he is described as here, or the Christ, as Andrew described. Have we examined his teaching? Well, the answer is, that's our second point. Come and see. Do not leave it in the distance. Do not be satisfied with looking at it superficially, but examine it, have a close look, and ask God to open your eyes, the eyes of your soul, so that you might see the wonderful things that are contained in the Bible, the wonderful things that Christ Jesus taught, and the wonderful things that Christ Jesus did when he was in this world. Come and see. And we might just say, that is a message from God to each of us here today. Come and see. Do not stay away. Our eternity depends on it. Of course, people today, generally speaking, don't believe in eternity. There's nothing beyond death. That's what they want to believe. They don't want their sins to catch up with them, to put it like that. But we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in the body, whether they be good or bad. Yes, but let us say one or two things about this question. He was assuming that Christ really belonged to Nazareth. In a sense, he did, of course. But if he was assuming that Jesus was born in Nazareth, he was wrong, of course. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And perhaps that was one of his difficulties in knowing the scriptures and knowing the prophecy in Micah, that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth he that is to be ruler in Israel. The Messiah, he was to come out of Bethlehem. But he was to be brought up largely in Nazareth. So he was generally known as Jesus of Nazareth, or Jesus from Nazareth. Nathanael was asking that question. He needed to learn things better. That was his, the question that others asked. Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem? Well, that wasn't supremely important that he would get right, except as it helped him to recognize the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. But here is an important point. If Nathanael had inquired further, then he would have got things right. He would have been more likely, at any rate, to get things right. And that is how it should be with us. As far as religion is concerned, are we asking enough questions? And are we asking questions from people or sources that will give us a reliable answer? And supremely, we should be asking the Bible. Now, the Bible is not a person, but for all that, we can put it in that way. Are we going with our questions to the Bible? Because it has been given by God, it's God's revelation, it's a safe source. If you're asking questions in order to do some work in your house, perhaps, you want to ask somebody who knows a bit about these things. There's no use asking people who have never done work in their house or done that particular kind of work. They don't know. They haven't had the experience. So we need to be sure that these are people who know something about what they're going to tell us. Have they had the experience? Well, what about this matter of salvation? What about the matter of religion? If we're going to start asking questions about religion, we need to know that that those whom we ask know something about it. We need to know that these people know what they're talking about. That, bluntly, is how we might put it. And, you see, God is speaking. God knows everything. He is speaking. And we should go to ask. Now, there's two ways in which we should be asking God. One is what I've been saying already. It's a matter of receiving the testimony, or asking what testimony is God giving me in the Bible. God has breathed out the teachings of the Bible, or we might even say the words of the Bible. All that is in the Bible, it's come from God. And it's reliable, absolutely reliable. There's many a thing you would want reliability on in this world. Somebody is trying to tell you something. But is what he is saying reliable? Can I trust it? Can I trust him? Well, come to this. When God is speaking, can I trust him? For many people, that will be an unnecessary question. But it's worth thinking. What really is the answer to that question? Can I trust God? Of course we can. Of course we can. That's what it comes to. The eternal God who made everything. Now, that's an important starting point. It's not what we're going to finish if we are trying to learn from God. But the fact is that God made everything. God created all things. And you see, without spending time on that very important point, many people might say it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So long as we believe in God, that's enough. But why should we believe in God? Why should we submit to the teachings that God gives? It's because he made human beings. He made Adam, he made Eve, and everything flows on from that. He made all things. He made us. That's the authority God has over us. He made us. And we are to be relying on the truth of what he has made known in Scripture. If the Bible says it, that's truth. That's what we're to follow. That's what we're to believe. We're not to put it away from us. We're not to question it. God is speaking to us. God is speaking to us in the Bible. So we should be going to the Bible. And then again, we are to be asking God in prayer. There's many a thing in the Bible, very likely, which we're conscious that we do not understand. Some parts of the Bible, some teachings of the Bible are more important. But especially these important things about sin and salvation, we need to have some real understanding of what they are saying to us. How will we find out? Might read a chapter and say, I didn't make anything of that. Are we just to go away and close our Bibles, say it can't matter too much then, even if it's a chapter teaching us about salvation? No, we're not to leave it at that. We're to pray. We're to ask God to teach us. We're to ask God that he would speak to us. that as we read the scriptures, or as we hear a sermon, the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, would apply these things to our souls. That God the Holy Spirit would apply these things to our souls. We're to ask. He is able to speak to us. He is able to open our minds so that we receive the truth. You see? A question. And let us be taking our questions to God. To ask him. What am I to take out of that? How am I to apply this to myself? And we're to ask him to give his Holy Spirit to be working in our souls. Yes. Now, if we have our questions right, and if we're ready to ask questions, then we can keep ourselves from a great deal of danger. There was that time recorded in John chapter 6 when Jesus was teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. And there were lots of hearers and they didn't get on very well. They were struggling. They were asking themselves or asking each other, what is he speaking about? What's he speaking about? This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? They were struggling. Now they asked themselves or asked each other. And obviously that wasn't a very fruitful source for an explanation. That wasn't a very good source for the teaching that they very much needed. Who can hear it? The whole thing is dismissed. They're not going to listen to that. And how much of that has happened over the last 100 years and more, 150 years. All that's important for us just now is that that's what's been happening right up today. Who can hear it? That's not the question. That's a wrong question. And how many people go wrong? Perhaps we're going wrong ourselves because we're asking the wrong question. And asking the wrong person. You see, there was Jesus. He was still around. He hadn't gone far away. Could they not have gone to him and say something like, we didn't understand what was being said, and go on to ask for an explanation? Well, if we're confused about religion, if we're confused about the Bible and the teachings of the Bible, would it not be good to go to God and ask that we would be made able to learn, that we would be taught? Are you wanting to be taught about true religion? Are you wanting to get a right grasp of the teaching in the Bible, the teaching especially about how a sinner can be saved? How can I find salvation? You see, there was the jailer in Philippi when Paul and Silas happened to be there. As they were going around evangelizing. But they were thrown into prison. And there was the earthquake and all the doors were opened and the jailer was in deep trouble. He was very concerned about what was going to happen. But he did the right thing. He asked these men who knew something about salvation. He had the great privilege of asking people, of being able to ask people who could give him an answer. And he did that. He didn't pass by his opportunity. He said, what can we, what can I, what must I do to be saved? That's an excellent question. But what shall you ask? Make sure that somebody knows something about these things. And especially, go to God with your question. Pray about it. In our ignorance, whatever our ignorance might be, we would do well to go to God. And even in ordinary things, I was using as an example, doing something in the house. Now, you wouldn't go to the Bible directly for an answer to that question. But you can go to God and ask him to help you. You have this to do, you're not quite sure what to do, and not quite sure how to go about it. And there's many difficulty you see in the way. Ask God to help you. But the main thing here just now is this, our souls, salvation, the truth. What is truth? No doubt a pretty flippant question when Pilate asked it, but it's not necessarily a flippant question. If we're serious about these things, what is truth? Let us go without question. That kind of question. Let us go to the Lord with it. Lord, what is truth? Lord, help me to understand what I find in the Bible. Supposing your mind is impressed with a thought, it's the Bible I must go to. You may have read about other people or heard about other people who went to the Bible. And the truths of the Bible were impressed upon their souls. The great truth that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, that was impressed upon their souls. Well, you go to God in prayer for Jesus' sake and ask him to show you the answer to these things. Yes. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Well, that might not be exactly a question. But there might be other questions of a similar nature, approximately going along the same lines. Ah, go to the Lord with him. Lord, I'm confused. Lord, I cannot understand. Lord, I have this difficulty and that difficulty. Yes. Go with all these questions. And questions in connection with your providence, perhaps, with various things that had happened. Go and pray about them. Ask the Lord to help you. Ask the Lord to show you the way that you should go. Ask the Lord to help you understand how you should think, how you should chart your way through this world, so to speak. Yes. And you see, it's the matter of our priorities. What's our priority in life? There's a question. And what should be our priority in life? That's another question. And the Savior told the parable about the feast, and so many were invited, and three made excuses, at least. That excuses are reported, and one of them was, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. He had to go and examine it after he had bought the piece of ground. Well, when people are making excuses, they make many a blunder. They say many a foolish thing. And when sinners are making excuses for not seeking salvation, and they are making excuses about keeping away from Christ and going after false ideas, believing false ideas, they say many a foolish thing. I married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. There was another excuse. Ah, well, as has often been said, why not take the wife too? It might be rather late to say, why did you marry such a wife then, if she's going to keep you away from true religion? But that's not what should happen. whatever it is that people put between themselves and Christ, there's something wrong. Yes, we're still to ask questions. We're still to ask the Lord to bless the truth to us, to open our understandings, to receive the good news of salvation. We should let nothing come between ourselves and Christ. But you see, behind it all, there is something like this. Behind all the excuses, there's something like this. We will not have this man to reign over us. We are not willing to have this man to reign over us. We're not willing to have Christ. We don't want him. That's the fundamental answer. If people were honest with themselves, keeping away from Christ, not seeking salvation, not being properly in earnest about these things, we don't really want him. And what should we say? How should we react to that thought? Again, go to God. Go to God and ask him, make me willing to have Christ. You see, I refer to God as the Creator, and that should lead us to think about him as one who is all-powerful. And there's this aspect to God's power also. He is able to make us willing to have Christ. He is able to transform our hearts so that we would trust in Christ. He is able to do everything, whatever it is that we need, and especially whatever it is that we need about our souls and for our souls. God is able to supply all our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Yes. And we read about the Pharisees and lawyers, that they rejected the counsel of God against themselves, against their own best interests. And if we are rejecting Christ, I'm not saying particularly, though that would still be relevant, but I'm not saying particularly, speaking particularly of people who are saying Christ never existed, Christ was never in this world, or perhaps even Christ isn't the Son of God. Christ isn't the Savior. But, you see, even if people would accept these things, if they're not willing to have Christ, they're rejecting him. And they're rejecting him against their own best interests. Rejecting Christ against their own best interests. That's the situation. Well, there's the answer. Go and see. Do not stay away, but go. Go and see. Examine it for yourselves. Go and speak to Christ. Go and ask him that question. And see what kind of person he is. Don't stay away. And that is the answer to all refusal of Christ, all unbelief, all unwillingness to come to Christ. Well, go and see. Go and see that his achievements, perhaps I could say, that they measure up to what is said about him in the Bible. Go and see how he treats those who believe in him. Go yourself and believe in him. Do not keep away from him. See how the Savior spoke to the woman of Samaria. He said many a wonderful thing. But he began very close to this. He said about the water in the well, which was where the Savior found her. She had come with her water pot to he get some water and bring it home. And he said, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. It may need a bit of explaining. I'm not sure that the woman asked him specifically about that, but at least she carried on a conversation with Jesus. And we might remember that Jesus was in control of the conversation. And how good it would be for us to be engaged in conversation with Christ. And we could hope that Christ would carry on a conversation with us and keep control of the conversation. Keep control of our thinking. Yes, keep control of our thinking so that we would come to the right conclusion in the end. Yes, Christ gives living water, not water for our bodies. Though if we were in a dire situation and we prayed that we would be shown where we would find water, that would be a good thing to do, a wise thing to do. But what we should be more concerned about is water for the soul. The water that gives life when it is under Christ's control. You see, if we start asking questions, who knows how far we will get. We might get all the way to finding Christ as the Savior of lost sinners like ourselves. That's how it was with the woman of Samaria. She carried on a conversation. Not much of it might have been by way of question, but at least she was speaking. And Christ was answering her in exactly the best way possible. You see, if we're trying to reason with Christ, Isaiah 1:18, come now and let us reason together. Well, you see, we might make many a blunder. We might go wrong in many a way. But, you see, if Christ is in control of the conversation, he will bring us to himself in the end. And that's a great matter. Christ in control of a conversation with a sinner. And bringing that sinner to find various things in the Bible or in the preaching that are relevant. And make him think, or make her think. You see, that sinner, like the woman of Samaria, may be brought to Christ in the end. Do not give up. Do not say, I'm not getting an answer to my difficulties. Well, keep on. Christ is able to show you the answer to your difficulties. You see, I've been speaking about the woman of Samaria, and the Savior was speaking with Nathanael. He was in control of that conversation too. And he brought him to the right end, to the place where he was able, by God's grace, to believe on the Savior. You see, what it comes to is this, as you have it in Psalm 34. Oh, taste and see that God is good. Go to Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will experience. Go to Christ, who has said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come, in other words, believe. In other words, trust. Trust in Christ as the Savior. Trust in Christ as the one who died for sinners and who rose again. That's it. Come. Come wherever you are, however far off from God, however far away from Christ. Come. Come and look for him in the Bible. Come and look for Christ in the preaching of the word. See if there's something that speaks to you, that is relevant to the particular needs that you are experiencing, the particular things that are troubling you. Do not stay away, but come. Come to Christ. He is able to save your soul. Wasn't it good that the woman of Samaria was able to have a conversation with Christ? Wasn't it good that there were servants of Christ in the prison when the jailer felt so troubled? And he asked the relevant question. He asked a good question. And he got a very good answer. He got a perfect answer. And I'm sure many, many sinners, finding themselves concerned about their souls, have asked that same question. What must I do to be saved? Something of the same nature. They went to pray. Or as they were going about their business in one way or another, they asked the question. Again and again they may have asked the question. And in the end, the answer came with power. The answer came with conviction. The answer came accompanied by the Holy Spirit's work. And their hearts were opened. And they began to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see what John says in the fourth chapter of his first epistle. He's speaking of his experience. He's speaking of what he can testify of. He's speaking of having gone to ask questions. He's saying, I went to see. I was with Christ and I saw many a thing. And so I believe and I testify. I have seen and I testify that the Father sent the Son, that God the Father sent God the Son to be the Savior of the world. I saw. I believed. I got an answer. And that is that Christ Jesus is the Savior. That Christ Jesus was sent by God. And he came and he did all that was necessary for the salvation of sinners. You see, that's part of the answer. He did all that was necessary for the salvation of sinners. And if I am asking questions about salvation, how can I be saved? Where can I find salvation? We've had a number of answers already. They've included this. Come and see. Come unto me. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And many, many more. If we were to go over the whole of Scripture. This is the Savior. This is the one that has authority. This is the one that we are to go to. And there may be many that say, Psalm 4, who will show us any good? Is that one of the big questions today? Who will show us any good? Might be phrased differently. Where can I get satisfaction? Where can I find happiness? What should I do to make a name for myself in this world? What should I do so that I'm not forgotten when this life is over? Some of these questions are better questions than others. But you see, who will show us any good? Well, there's an answer. Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. The light of God's face, in other words, is favor. Lord, show me favor. That's how we're to answer. To answer our own question. But where do we get the answer? What's in the Bible? It's in Psalm 4. It's a good answer there. And we should take it up and go to the Lord. Show me favor. Show me kindness. When I am a lost sinner, when I am guilty, when I am under condemnation, when I am ripe for a lost eternity, what should I do? A more central question than most of those I asked a moment ago. Yes, Lord, show me favor for the sake of Christ. Forgive me my sins for the sake of Christ. Make me holy for the sake of Christ. You see, every answer I've given to these three petitions, it's sending us back. It's not the answer, but it's part of the petition. But it's making use of what the Bible is teaching. Where are we going to get salvation? It's from Christ. It's for the sake of Christ. It's because of what he did in this world. That's the source of blessing. And if we are to have a blessed eternity, if we are to escape a lost eternity, if we are to get good things in eternity, if we're to get good things in this world, we're to go to Christ. We're to remember what he did in this world. The great work of salvation. That's the basis for it all. That's the foundation for good things in this world. It's the foundation for good things in eternity. It's the foundation for getting to heaven. It's the foundation for being saved. Yes. And we might notice this, that those who go to sea, they are transformed. They become new creatures in Christ Jesus. Look at Saul of Tarsus. And Ananias was sent to meet him and to help him. And he was afraid. What a man, what a persecutor Saul of Tarsus was. But it's safe now to go and meet this man, this arch persecutor. For that's what he was. He's been changed. He's been transformed. He's praying now. Oh, he used to pray, but it wasn't much of a prayer. It wasn't for the sake of Christ. He wasn't looking at the real foundation. He wasn't in coming to the one whom God had appointed. Here was the Messiah. Now he has found the Messiah. Well, the Messiah found him. No doubt both are true. But what a great matter when Christ finds a sinner and draws them to himself. Yes. And will be changed. Will be seeking obedience. Will seek to be submitting to God in Christ. And we'll pray. We'll pray for the sake of Christ. We'll not pray because of the good things we have done or might do. We'll see that we come short in everything. We must be, we'll realize that we must be dependent upon God in everything. You see what was true of David when he got into a very difficult situation and the people spoke of stoning him. They were blaming him for the fearful predicament they were in when the city where they were staying had been sacked by another tribe. The people spoke of stoning, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He was a transformed man. He was living as people should live who believe the gospel. Yes. And you can think of Saul, the mature Saul, the Saul who is on the borders of eternity. He's not going to be in this world for long, but he has been to sea. He has experienced a true religion. That's it. It could be put in 1,000 other ways, perhaps, but there's a very good way. It's a scriptural way. I have been to see, you see. I have been to examine things. I'm not gone away. I am not said this doesn't matter. I have gone. I've examined things. Yes. I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day, the day of judgment, no doubt. He has been to see. And there's the testimony of the Queen of Sheba who came to see Solomon. She had heard so much about him, so many wonderful things, but she didn't stay away. She said, it is a true report that I heard. It is a true report. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came and my eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. It was so much better. And I'm sure Nathaniel could have said that. He went to see. He found that one good thing came out of Nazareth. One good person. No doubt Mary and Joseph could be added to that list. But Jesus, he was good. And he gave great benefits. And Solomon, we can take as a picture of Christ. And she came and heard the words of wisdom and the wonderful things he did. Well, if we come to see Christ, if we hear his voice, if we hear him saying to us, look unto me and be saved. Look unto me. Yes. If we come and see what blessings we will have. And you see, that's the message. And I might just refer to the Saviour's warning in connection with the Queen of Sheba, when he said that she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, he went on, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. And a greater than Solomon comes among us. When we gather to hear the word, and the call comes to us, come and see, do not go away. As if that was the end of it all. Come and see. Should still be ringing in our ears as we go out the door of this building. Come and see. Should still be ringing in our ears when we go in the door of our homes. Come and see. Should be ringing in our ears all the way through the afternoon and all the way through the evening. Come and see that this is true, that there is salvation to be found in Christ, a salvation that will bring us to heaven, a salvation through which all our needs can be supplied. But we've got to begin at the beginning, as it were. We've got to begin with Christ and the great work of salvation that he accomplished in this world. Come and see. That's what Christ is saying to us. And remember these words that he spoke in this world, and it's related to this. Come and see. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and these are they that testify of me. And one call further. It's this, what John the Baptist said to his disciples when they saw Christ near them. He said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Behold the one who was the sacrifice, who was offered as a sacrifice, bearing the sins of many all over the world. Come and see. Come and see him, pictured for us in the Word of God, set out for us in the Scripture. Come and see. May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray. Have mercy, Lord. Teach us thy ways. Open our ears that we might hear the wonderful things that are to be spoken concerning Christ. May we come and see. May we be drawn. May we not be allowed to stay away from Christ. But may we come, young and old. Have mercy on us. Do us good. Hear us graciously and love us freely. Grant to be blessing us with all spiritual blessings. Have mercy on us, Lord. Come, come thyself. Come and work wonderfully, that thou wouldst hear us in thy mercy. Be our God and our guide forever. May we not be careless about our souls, but may we be in earnest. May we be asking the right questions. May we be asking scriptural questions. May we be coming with our questions to thee. And Lord, in thy mercy, give us answers which thou wouldst apply to our souls. Pardon our sin and make us thankful. Bless thy word. Help us in every way. Save our souls. For Jesus' sake, amen.